if I don't scare you off, maybe you'll come back tonight. Amen. Those that were here in Sunday school, that wasn't scary, was it? Okay, all right. Because if it is, I'm going to have to go into my Presbyterian mode. All right? I'm only joking, by the way. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, I have six sermons up here tonight, or this morning. And whatever one doesn't work, I'm going to move to the next one. So you'll let me know if the first one works, all right? If I see it working, we'll be done and we'll be out of here. If not, I'll just get to the other ones. But anyway, I want to, if you have a Bible, would you turn to the book of Revelation, please? Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to switch my messages. I was going to preach on one thing, but I'm going to preach on another. Just praying for the Lord's leading this morning. The goal is to be a blessing. That's the goal, amen. The goal of any preacher and of any preaching should be to be a blessing to God's people. That doesn't always mean to tell people what they want to hear, though. Amen. That's, if you go to a church where the only thing they tell you is what you want to hear, you'll never ever grow. Amen. We got too many churches, come as you are, leave as you were. That's not the way God wants it. Amen. God wants us to be able to come into His presence and hear something that would help change our lives. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 40, there speaks about a millennial temple that will be built. And it says that during the millennial kingdom that there will be people that will go into one particular door and they are not to leave out the same door. They're to leave out another door. And the thought is that when we come into the presence of the Lord, we should never leave the same. Amen. I believe it was Jacob. When Jacob wrestled with the Lord, he was touched by God in such a way that he did not walk away the same. Amen. He walked away different. The Word of God, if it gets to our hearts and to our minds the way that it wants to and the way that God wants to do it, then we will not leave the same. Amen. We will leave altered. And by the way, that's what He wants to do. He wants to change us more and more to be like His Son Jesus. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 4, if you would please. I want to preach a message this morning on this thought, pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. I think that song encouraged me to even preach this message this morning. And that's a great song about how the Lord directs our steps. It's a sad thing. We don't always listen and we don't always do it. Amen. But when we allow the Lord to direct our steps, that doesn't always mean that we'll never have problems, that we'll never falter, that we'll never fall. Amen. The Lord does direct our steps, and although we may have faults and failures and we may fall, He upholds us by His hand, amen, and gets us back on track again. I want to preach a little bit this morning on pleasing the Lord. Revelation, if you would, chapter number 4. We're going to read verse number 10 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. You know, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 is a great scripture that brings us to heaven. John, if you will, is translated, transported, if you will, as he's revealed heaven and what's going on in heaven. And it's a wonderful thing to know that God is on His throne. And God's in control, amen? And everything's okay in heaven. And the reason it's good to understand that, because in Revelation chapter 6, the tribulation on earth is going to begin. And it's good to know that while everything may be falling apart on earth, everything's okay in heaven, amen? I want you to know, by the way, everything that's above our head is still under His feet. Amen? Look at verse number 11. Thou art worthy. This is what they say around the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And by the way, we believe God is the Creator. Amen? We believe by faith that God created all things. Amen? It didn't just happen. It takes more faith to believe it just happened than the fact that God did it. Amen? I know a lot of people like to use an illustration, especially in reference to creation, and they like to say, hey, take a watch and break it up with a hammer, throw it in a box, throw some dynamite or some maybe a quarter stick, not too big, and throw that in there with it, and let that explosion put it back together. That's about the essence of evolution. I don't think that that's a great illustration, to be honest with you. I think they ought to just take an empty box, throw dynamite in there, nothing in there, and let something happen out of nothing. That's the essence of evolution. That's hard to believe. Amen? But we believe that God's the creator of all things. Amen? In the beginning, God. Amen? Look at verse number 11. It says this, and they said, glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Now get the last statement, if you would. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. You and I were created. Human beings were created to glorify the Lord. Amen? We were created to please the Lord. Now Adam fell and Eve fell and you and I were born fallen people. Amen? And therefore we could not really please the Lord. See, they that are in the flesh cannot please the Lord. We could not please the Lord, if you will, until we are recreated. And by the way, that's the essence of salvation. If any man be in Christ, that's a recreation, a new creation. When you get saved, you are recreated. You are a new creature in Christ. Amen? And now that we're saved and we're new creatures in Christ, old things are beginning to pass away, and behold, all things are becoming new. When we get saved, the old life begins to fade away. That which is not pleasing to the Lord begins to fade away, and all things become new, and we begin to please the Lord from the moment we get saved, and we ought to grow in our pleasing the Lord. Amen? Pleasing the Lord. Let me just say this. Pleasing the Lord is God's design. It is God's design for you and I, especially for everyone that is saved, no doubt about it. Amen? I want you to turn with me, by the way, to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, please. Hebrews, chapter number 10. Pleasing the Lord. It's so important that we live our Christian lives to please the Lord. Amen? Hebrews, chapter number 10, if you would, please. It's God's design. That's exactly why He created us, to please Him. And let me just say this. Not every saved person's Christianity is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Amen? And by the way, I think we're living in a day and an age where some types of Christianity are so foreign to the Bible. Amen. It is not pleasing the Lord to be a Christian homosexual. That is not pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Hey, I thank God that God loves homosexuals and God saves homosexuals out of that lifestyle. But we have a Christianity in this world today where they actually believe that that lifestyle is acceptable with God. That it's not acceptable with God. It's not at all. Amen? I mean, you got to be, the scriptures have to be a foreign thing for you to believe that a particular sinful lifestyle is still acceptable and pleasing to God. Amen? But we are living in a day and an age where there's all kinds of crazy stuff in Christianity. Christian rap and Christian rock. That, as a matter of fact, that don't even make no sense. Amen? But yet we have Christianity today that is pretty much whatever you want, however you want it. And that is a Christianity that is unbiblical. You may think you're pleasing to the Lord, but until you get into the scriptures and understand the word of God, you'll never understand what is pleasing and what is not. Amen? But we're in a day and an age where people are just so whacked out in their type of Christianity. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter number 10. I want you to look with me in verse number 38 and 39. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 38 and 39. The Bible says this, now the just shall live by faith. And by the way, just are saved people. Amen. You and I that are saved, we got saved by faith, and now we got to live by faith. Amen. Look at verse number 38. It goes on. But if any man draw back, and by the way, drawing back, that's the essence of backsliding. Drawing back is the essence of backsliding. I want you to know the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew believers who at the time when they got saved, they lost everything. Hebrew believers, their families and their jobs and their social lives were all intertwined When a Jew got saved and they lost everything. It's not like you and I, Gentiles, would. If we get saved, we might lose some family, some friends, but we're not going to lose everything. And so these Jewish people, they got saved and they sacrificed and they lost everything, but they were tempted to go back. They were tempted to stop living for the Lord. Amen? They were pressured, if you will, to stop living for the Lord and to go back and just to simply fit in, if you will. And there's a lot of Christians that are saved in this world, but they don't live saved because they want to fit in. You got to backslide to fit in. Amen? And he says this, we need to walk by faith. And by the way, one of the reasons he's encouraging to walk by faith, because it wouldn't be long that they're going to lose everything that they saw within their Christianity. The temple was going to be destroyed. The sacrifices all were going to be. That's why this book lifts up Jesus as everything you need. By faith we need to live. Look at verse number 38. But if any man draw back, that's backslide. Look at the statement says. The Lord says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God is not pleased when we backslide. He's not pleased when we stop living for him and start living for ourselves. And by the way, we're all tempted to do that. In some measure or another. Amen? Now there are some people who believe you can lose your salvation. There are some people who believe that if you backslide, that you're no longer saved. I don't believe that. In fact, I could testify that that's not the truth. Because I got saved as a young man, but I got backslidden as a teenager. And as a teenager, I got into smoking weed, I got into drinking, I got into stealing cars and motorcycles. As a teenager, I got into a lot of sins that I'll not even name because I'm ashamed of it. But I did not lose my salvation, but I'll tell you what I did get. I gained a spanking. Can I get a witness? Amen. I gained a spanking. See, you can't be saved, walk away from God, live your own life, and not have the Father love you to the point where you feel it. Amen. Amen. If any man's really saved, they may backslide, but they ain't staying out there. They're coming back. They're either going to come back to the Lord physically on earth, or they'll go to him soon. That's the truth about it. Amen? I don't believe that you can lose your salvation. In fact, within this text, look, God can be displeased with your lifestyle, just like earthly parents can be displeased with the lifestyles of their children. But earthly parents cannot disown the children that they birth into this world. Amen? I want you to look with me in verse number 39. I love this verse. But he has to say this. Look, you backslide and you're not pleasing to the Lord, but we are not of them who draw back, who believe you can backslide unto perdition, which means destruction. We don't believe you can backslide to the point where you lose your salvation. Look at verse number 39 as it goes on. But we're of them that believe to what? The saving of the soul. Listen, you can backslide and lose your physical life. You can do that. But you can backslide and lose your eternal life. In the book of Corinthians, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or chapter 5, I believe it is, there was a man who was living in immorality that even the Gentiles, even the unsaved, frowned on it. And Paul said, listen, you need to excommunicate that individual because he's not repentant. You need to separate him from the church, that that church might be a holy place, a holy lump, if you will. He said, listen, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of what? His flesh. That his soul may be preserved unto the day of judgment. You see, he's saying, look, that man needs to be executed. If you're going to live in sin, and you're not going to live in sin in God's house. By the way, that's disrespectful. It's one thing I respect about the prodigal son. He got away from the father's house to do his dirty things. Amen. I'll tell you, there's a Christianity today where some kids want to live in their parent. Their parents are trying to live for God, but they want to live their lifestyle in their home. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's a grief and a heartache. Don't do that. Amen? But he said, cast them out. He said, let me tell you something. That man wants to live in sin. The devil's going to destroy his flesh. And by the way, immorality has destroyed many a Christian's flesh. I've seen Christians dying of AIDS and all kinds of other drug addictions. They're saved. They're children of God. In fact, sometimes that's one of the reasons they're leaving this life sooner. Amen? But their spirits are saved. No doubt about it. Oh, we need to please the Lord, don't we? Turn with me, if you would, please, to first. I'm going to take my coat off. Is that all right? I know it was okay in Sunday school, but just make sure during the 11 it's all right. I was telling people that they got the high beams on up here, and I didn't bring no sunblock, so I'm not Italian, so I don't get tan. My wife gets tan. I get burnt. One thing I like about this, I do get a workout. I get to really, you know, sweat out. I say I don't sweat to the oldies. I sweat to the old paths. Amen. Thank you. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. If this kind of preaching is not suited for you, just hang in there. We'll be done a little bit, right? I understand. Look, we got parishioners and then we got prisoners. I understand all that. Parishioners are usually the parents and prisoners are usually the children. Can I get a witness? Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Not every Christian is pleasing to the Lord. Watch what you hear on TV. Watch these TV preachers. They're going to tell you anything you want to hear because they want you to send the money so they can send you the prayer cloth or whatever it is they send in the mail. Oh, everything's acceptable. Your life, if you're saved, it's accepted. No, it's not. God doesn't accept everything we give him. You know, that's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or give your bodies holy. Get this, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not everything we give to God, not every way we live, God is acceptable or pleased with it. Amen? We got to make sure we're giving him an acceptable life. In the Old Testament, book of Malachi, you guys are going through the book of Malachi. The priests were giving God the lame and the sick and the animals that were just the skimpest. And he said, man, look what you're doing. You don't respect me no more. You lost my fear. And they said, how's that? He said, look what you're giving me. He said, give it to your governors. Give it to them. See if they'll be pleased. It wasn't acceptable. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want you to look with me, please, beginning in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers... Now, Paul speaking about the Jews who came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, you remember. He says, I want you to be mindful of all of our fathers that were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse number 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock, spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now listen, what he's saying in verses 1 to 4, he's saying to the Christian believer, the Corinthians, especially the Corinthians, because Corinth was a corrupt place. Corinth was a place filled with immorality and all kinds of filth, kind of like Philadelphia. Amen. I can tell you that because I live there. I mean, there are some places that are more sin city. And Corinth was a wicked place. So what Paul's saying, he's saying, hey, let's remember this. Remember all of our fathers. By the way, when God saved the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was a picture of salvation. You know, Egypt's a picture of the world. Pharaoh's a picture of the devil. And the devil had you and I trapped in the world. But Jesus, a picture of Moses, comes and saves us and miraculously opens up the Red Sea and we all come out and we all come through. We come to the other side. And he's saying, remember, they all got saved. They all came through. They all had the provisions that God gave them. They all experienced a wonderful salvation. And you know, we can all be saved the same way. We can all be saved the same way. But look at verse number 5. But, although they were all saved, watch this, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Look what he says in verse 6. Now these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they lusted. Neither be idolaters, as some of them were. For the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them did commit it and fell in one day. And so on. Verse number 9. Let us not tempt Christ, and as some of them also tempted. Verse 10. Neither let us murmur. What does he do? He lists some of the sins that caused some of them not to be pleasing to the Lord. Amen? We get saved. We come through. But we're in the wilderness. And this world is a wilderness, no doubt about it. Amen? And in this wilderness, there's lust and temptations and all kinds of things you and I as God's people can get into. And when we get into all the sinful things, we're not pleasing to the Lord. Amen? That was all introduction. Let me give you the first point. And by the way, I'll see how much we can accomplish, but let me give you the first point. Number one, if you take notes, you might want to jot this down. Pleasing the Lord involves a course. A course. That's a prescribed path. That path is, I think, what the Bible calls in Psalm 23:3, a path of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's a path that Christians need to find and we need to follow. Amen? And that path is a path of righteousness, doing right. And listen, we all have to be very careful of the path of wickedness. Amen? In fact, let me say this about the path of wickedness. Psalm 5:4 says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness." It is God's will for you and I to find the course that God wants us to run, to find the course and the path that God wants us to take, and to get on it and to stay on it. That is the goal of the Christian after we get saved, is to find God. Just like Paul the Apostle, when he got saved, he's one of the first things he said is, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Amen? After we get saved, we will, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Amen? And by the way, let me say this. To turn with me for a moment to Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. If we're going to live lives pleasing to the Lord, we need to find the path that is pleasing to the Lord. Amen? And I'll be honest with you. You cannot find the path that pleases the Lord apart from this book right here. If you close this book, you'll think anything you do is pleasing to the Lord. I know some people who think that they are all that and a bag of chips. I know people who think they love the Lord. In fact, let me say this. Sweet old lady, I just love the Lord. And I'll tell you, her smile and just the natural, or the first glimpse or glance, you'd think that was the case. But the fact of the matter is, if you ain't loving the Lord according to His Word, you can't be loving the Lord properly. Amen? If you shut this book, you are ignorant of God's will. And what does the Bible say in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6? My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen? What you and I don't know can hurt us. This book right here is the key to finding out what pleases God and what does not please God. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Look at verse number 10 and 11. We're there, right? Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The Bible says this, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." By the way, we get the picture here. Watch this. He's saying rain and snow come down from above. It comes from God. Thank God for it. Amen? The fact of the matter is, rain and snow comes down and it goes into the earth and it produces something that comes out of the earth that is actually pleasant. And it's beneficial to you and I. We couldn't live without it. And what, by the way, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen? But watch what he does. He takes this illustration and look at verse number 11. "So shall my word be." So shall my word be. I was reading in the Old Testament. One of the prophets got up to preach the word that God had given him, and it says that he was above the people. And I don't doubt that that's where a lot of people get the understanding of the lifting up of a pulpit above. In fact, some of you may know and understand that there are some pulpits that are so many steps up that they're really, really high up. It doesn't mean that that man is better than you, by no means. Thank God that God calls ministers closer to Him to use them, no doubt about it. But here's what I think the essence of the preacher being above. It's that you might know that the word you're hearing is coming from above. It's not coming from that man. It's coming from above. Amen? And by the way, if you don't study your Bible, you have no idea if it's coming from above. And that's why we don't tell you, shut your Bible and listen to me, because I'm going to tell you what God said. No. I'm going to do like those of Berea, even if Paul the Apostle says it. I'm going to search the Scriptures to make sure it's so. Amen? Now watch this. So the Word of God, like rain and snow, it comes from above. It comes from God. This book came from God. It came from above. Watch this now. Look at verse number 11. He goes on. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. That which I what? I please. There it is. God gave us His Word from above. The Holy Spirit of God gave us this book from above that it might get in us and work in us and work out of us what is pleasing to God. Amen? You and I cannot live lives that are pleasing to God unless His Word is doing the work in our hearts to bring that out. Amen? There was a king, Josiah, in the Old Testament. He was a young man. He was a godly young man. He was a good young man. In fact, he was bringing about revival in the kingdom. In fact, the house of God had been closed up and shut down, and he ordered them to repair it. Repair the house of God. Let's get the house of God back again. And all of a sudden, when they were in there repairing that house, they found a copy of the Word of God. You know, some people, how many people recall that situation? They found a copy. Do you know that the Word of God wasn't lost? People use the term that, oh, during that day, the copy of the Word of God was lost. No, it wasn't. It was where it's supposed to be. The people were lost. The Word of God was in the house of God where it should be. The people were lost. But when they began to repair and they found a copy of the Word of God, they brought it to this good godly king and they gave it to him. Let me tell you what this good godly king did when he read it. He said, oh my goodness, I'm further from God than I thought. I'm further from God than I thought. You shut this book, you may think yourself to be something. See, every man's clean in his own eyes. Every man's right in his own eyes. But let the Word of God examine you. That's why the psalmist says, search me, O Lord. Try me. Know me. See if there be any way. I'm biased. I'm biased. Most people say this, and even the world says it. You're blind to many of your faults. This book right here is a mirror. You try to live life without a mirror if you got hair. Try to live life without a mirror. I can do it for a while. And my hair's not going to be messed up. Ladies, try to live life without a mirror for a day. No way. Why? I want to make sure I look good. Amen? You can't just wing that. Christians can't live without the mirror. Because sometimes we got a smudge on our face, we have no idea. This book right here is the key to saying, you're not pleasing. But it's also, here's the way, walk ye in it. Amen? Turn to 1 Thessalonians if you would, please. Pleasing the Lord involves a course. We need to find out from God's Word whether I'm pleasing to the Lord or not. Amen? Get in the book, get in the book, get in the book. And it'll do a work in our hearts. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Pleasing the Lord is God's design. It's what God wants. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, if you would please. We are living in a day where many Christians are falling away. And there goes I, but by the grace of God. Amen? We're living in a day and we're living in a world where the allurement is so great to pull us into it. If a man named Demas, if a man who rubbed elbows with the apostle Paul, labored with him fervently, could be taken away by the world at his time, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How much more you and I? We use a term, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Most of the time we would miss it for the world, amen. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, please. Paul the Apostle, speaking to the Thessalonians, preached to them. He preached it in the Word of God in reference to pleasing the Lord. I want you to look with me, please, beginning in verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. No, am I in the right? No, second. Or what am I at? I'm at chapter 3, I'm sorry. Was I at chapter 3? Let me see. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. I'm looking for... I ain't going to help me. Timothy's not going to help me. I'm sorry. I'm preaching Timothy and you got Thessalonians. All right. That's enough to bring confusion. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul said this, "Furthermore, then I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk." Listen, Paul the apostle preach to the Thessalonians how you ought to walk. We are living in a day and in an age where people don't want preaching. You may be here and say, "I don't want it neither." Listen, I'll be honest with you, Tom, sometimes I don't want preaching. I don't always want what I need. Amen? Is there any big churches around here that don't preach? All they do is what? Teach? Any like that? We have some like that in our area. They got about 6,000. They have to have several services. Do you know it's been predicted that we're living in a day and an age where people don't want to hear sound doctrine, people don't want to hear preaching, but they want to hear teachers? You know what teaching does? It lays out a buffet. And you pick and choose what you like. Anybody have children? You take them to the buffets? Do you have to make them go to the good stuff first? How many of our children would say, "Oh, well, boy, I just want to hit the dessert table right away. Just want to hit the dessert table. I want the ice cream and I want the cake and I want everything that's going to fill me up. Give me a bellyache. Make me sick." You know what parents have to do? "No. We're going some broccoli over here, some cauliflower over here. Can I get a witness?" You have to force people to eat the healthy stuff. You can have dessert a little bit later, but the fact is, when it's up to us, we'll go after whatever. Teaching lays it all out, and you go ahead and pick and choose what you want. That's not good. We in our flesh are not going to always go for the best. You know what preaching does? It doesn't lay out a buffet. It tells us what God said. People don't like. You know why people don't like? It's called pride. Who are you to tell me? God's man using God's word. Now, I'm not for people being mean and nasty and angry. In fact, my preaching, it's not mean, nasty, and angry. It's exciting. I'm excited about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some are grumpy old men, and I can't stand that. You understand what I'm saying? It's just, you know, they got problems, and they're taking it on you with the preaching. I'm not talking about that. Preaching can be excited. Preaching can be loud. It can be funny. It can be, amen, but as long as it's the truth. But people don't want people. Who are they to tell me? Listen, you came to hear God's word by God's man and by God's spirit. And if God is doing it, He's telling us. Paul the apostle told these people how they ought to walk. And it was based on what God said, not what he said. By the way, it's not the preacher's job to tell you how to walk based on what he thinks. It's got to be, "Thus saith the Lord." Can I get a witness? Thus, now I understand there are some preachers that don't get in the book. They only get up and tell you what they think. And I don't want to hear that, by the way. Give me God's word. Give me God's word. Study it, get it, give it to me. Amen? And Paul said, "I told you how you ought to walk." And that's exactly what church ought to be. The book is open. The Spirit's here. The word of God's going forth. Our hearts are getting hit with how we ought to walk. Let me tell you what happens when it does it like that. I sit in the pew, which I do a lot of times. And I hear that preacher. And it's not really him. Because within his voice, I hear the voice of God. Tell me how I ought to walk. And when he tells me how I walk, I think about this past week. I said, "Boy, I didn't walk that way." I get convicted. But I get challenged. I get convicted about the past, but I get challenged about leaving those doors differently. And that's exactly how God changes us over and over. We come in, we get a little convicted about what we're not, but we get challenged and encouraged about what we ought to be. And we leave by the grace of God in our hearts saying, I need to alter something. I need to change something for the glory of God. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Does anybody use Listerine? Thank you. I use Listerine. Do you give it the minute challenge? The minute challenge is to keep it in there for a minute. Why is it a challenge? It starts to get. There was a time, I don't know who did it. I don't know if my wife did it or I did it, but I picked up something else called mouthwash. And I put it in and swished around. I'm like, wow, there's nothing to this. Smell good. Smell nice. And I'd use it for about a week. And then it hit me. The main ingredient wasn't in this one. I think it's alcohol. Don't tell nobody. You know what hit me? My mouth was getting fresh. There was a fresh smell. There was whatever, but it wasn't getting clean by that mouthwash that didn't have nothing in it. And I thought Listerine like preaching. You know, when it's cleaning, you're feeling it. You're feeling something. Something's happening inside and you feel it. When you come and go and you don't feel nothing at church, it may not be something wrong with the preacher. Maybe something wrong with you. Sometimes I'll hear people say, well, that touched me here. That touched me here. If it don't touch us here, we ain't changing. Amen? But some people don't like that Listerine because it hurts a little bit. But it's sanctifying and it's cleaning. Amen? And others appreciate it. Especially during the greeting time. Amen? Look at verse number 1, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to be quitting soon. Believe me, I'm not going to hold you over any longer. But let me see verse number 1. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk, and to what? Please God. So you would abound more and more. Get this. Pleasing God should be something we grow at. When we first get saved, we're as pleasing as we can be. But as we grow at learning what God's want, we ought to grow at doing what God wants. It ought to be a growing process. Amen? Look at verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. By the way, I'm not going to get into the context, but the context is, look, you want to please God, you can't live in immorality and please God. Now, we live in a day and an age where people are just shacking up all too often. And it's not right. It's sin and it's wrong. It's not pleasing to God. Amen? Let me say this. Christ is our great example in reference to pleasing God. Amen. 2 times the Father spoke from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know why John 8:29, Jesus said this, I do always those things that please Him. Jesus is our great example. Our great example on pleasing God. Christ is our great example on pleasing God. Get this, therefore, Christ-likeness should be our greatest goal. If Christ is the great example of pleasing God, Christ-likeness should be our greatest goal. The more like Him I am, the more pleasing to the Father I'll be. That only makes sense. Amen? And by the way, that's exactly what God is trying to do. The day that we got saved, we were a lump, a block of clay. And He begun a good work in us the day we got saved. And the Father, through the hammer, this is the tool right here, began to chisel away, trying to knock off out of our lives the things that we were involved in, our sinful humanity. The day we got saved, we were a block, and He began to work on us. Thank God we're saved the way we are. He loved us right where we were, but too much to leave us there. And he began to chisel away at the things of our lives that are not pleasing to him. And he is still chiseling away. And he's, and the more the Word of God and the Spirit of God do that work, and all of a sudden, the more he chisels away me, the more Christ-like I become. I'll never be totally Christ-like in this life, I know. But when he comes and we go, I'll be like him. I'm going to see him as he is. You know, we are predestined, Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Book of Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 15. The church, Jesus gave gifts to the church for the perfecting of the church, for the maturing of the church, that it might become a perfect man. And really, that man is Christ-likeness. Amen? The goldsmith in the Old Testament would take gold and would put it in fire and burn it. And as he burned the gold, the dross, the dirt, the impurities would come to the top. A lot of times when we go through things, the worst comes out of us, doesn't it? The worst comes to the surface. But that's okay, because that's where it needs to be for it to be dealt with. But the goldsmith would purify the gold, and the impurities would come to the top, and he would scoop it away. And purify it and scoop it away. They say that his process was not done until he could see the reflection of himself in that gold. You and I are gold in God's eyes. We're valuable. Purifying gold is only to make it more valuable. Amen? Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when I come forth, I'm going to come forth like gold. May God help us to please him in our Christian lives. If you come back tonight, I'm going to finish this message. I only gave you one point. A couple other points to go with this. But if you'd like to come back, I'll finish it tonight. All right? Let's pray as the preacher comes. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for allowing us to hear what we needed to hear. I understand, Lord, coming to church, we're not always going to hear what we want to hear. And by the way, that's the way it shouldn't be anyway. There are times we need to hear what we need to hear for our own sake, for your glory. We've been designed by you to please you. And I know that we're most pleasing to you when we're more like Jesus. And I only pray that today was just another opportunity for the hammer and the chisel to be laid to us. What is it that we need to knock off? What is it that we need to knock off to make us more like Jesus? Do that work in all of our hearts today. If there's anybody here that's not saved, they're valuable. More precious than gold. May they understand it. And may even today be the day that they come to thee for salvation. But most of all, Lord, Christians, as we gather today, oh, help us, we pray. As the invitation begins in a few moments, dear Spirit of God, do a work that only you can do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all stand to our feet. We'll not sing today.